Hey guys, it's Jay Richards here again from DivInc, and I am sitting with Diana Osagie, an absolute genius in the education space. So happy and excited to be with Diana. Diana, how are you doing?
I'm really well. Pleased to be here.
It's great to see you again.
Yes. So funny story, guys. We actually recorded this podcast before, but Diana was wearing a lovely necklace, which is actually rubbing on the mic for the whole time, and we didn't actually realize. So we've had to record the audio again, but I'm extremely excited to be sitting with Diana again and just getting to talk properly and stuff like that. Diana, how was your week going so far?
It's been a good week. Just finished doing family holiday stuff, you know, Greece,
nice.
Dubai, hot, come back here. It's a bit cooler, but hey, you know, this is England, that's what we expect. No, it's been good, it's been good. And it's, some holidays are nearly off over. Exam results come out today for GCSE, so
that's crazy.
Let's hope everyone's done really well and got what they have. If you haven't done well, don't worry, life goes on.
Yeah,
it will be fine. It'll
that's
be
such
fine.
A good response. It's so true. I remember being terrified of getting my GCSEs. I did it right in the end, but yeah it's scary stuff.
It is. I know.
So Diana, I know I would love to, and I know our listeners would love to hear your story. What made you become a head teacher?
It wasn't accidental, but it wasn't planned at the beginning. So I was in education, I was a teacher, science teacher, and I then became head of year, and quickly then, after 18 months of being head of year, became a deputy head. And that's quite a meteoric sort of rise, that was quite quick. And I spent a long time as a deputy at the Chalk Face in a very difficult school, helping to turn that school around and just really working at the difficult end of education and helping young people and the school community, which was serving the most deprived. And did that for 8-9 years. I did my MPQH, which is like the qualification for headship.
Okay.
But did it as a course, not to get into headship, just did it as a course, really enjoyed it, then forgot about it and moved on. And then one day I literally received a telephone call from MPQH people saying, why have I not become a head? What's going on? I'm like, hello, stalking me. You know, we've noticed that you've not, you know, put yourself forward. Can we help in any way? And they were doing a course called MPQH Plus, where you sit at the feet of elders, other head teachers who are older, wiser, and so on, and you can ask any question you like.
Oh, wow.
So we went away for the weekend, did MPQH Plus, sat at the feet of a great head teacher who was called Sir Pritpal Singh. So shout out to Sir Pritpal, who was head of Drayton Manor School. I don't know if he's still there. And literally just got to talk with him and a couple of others about the truth of headship.
Amazing.
What it's really like to be a head of a school. Mm. Ask all those difficult questions. And at the end of that weekend, I said, yep, I want to do that. I've got my answers. I'm good. I want to do this. Applied from headships. Got one.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's how it was.
I love that. It's such an unconventional story because, like, you weren't even looking for it.
Not really.
You went to the course and just
did the course, enjoyed myself, you know, because I'm a scholar, enjoyed the actual, you know, the intellectual jousting that you get on courses, but I didn't link that with running my own school.
Yeah.
And that's what MPQH was like in those days. It was a course you did. It wasn't actually preparing you for headship.
Yeah.
It's very, very different now.
Okay.
But in those days, it was just a course.
Mm. Wow, that's insane. I love that. That's amazing. I'd love to know, it's because obviously you're from the education system. You've grown up in the education system. It always makes me laugh when teachers, they've been through the whole cycle of education themselves as children. Yeah. Then they leave and then they go back into education again.
Yes, absolutely.
So I'd love to know, why do you think education is important?
Education is a door.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to open that door to other avenues, which then will let your life be a flourishing, thriving existence.
Mm.
Without education, I think, you just survive.
Yeah.
You live the skin of your teeth sort of existence, hand to mouth existence. You work, you get paid, you eat that pay packet. Literally, it pays for food, it pays for lighting, it pays for shelter. Then you get another pay packet, you eat that pay packet.
Mm.
Without education, you cannot get out of that cycle or that strata. So there's a practical element. You need it to actually move up in terms of what you can afford to do with your life.
Yes.
Two, it allows you to have a view on the world which you wouldn't ordinarily have.
Okay.
It's important to understand other people, to understand yourself, to understand where you fit, to think about things, to have an opinion. And education opens that door to that thinking, feeling, discussing, jousting. And it's important to do that, I think. There's more to life than just being, than just, I don't know, what I call the Kardashian lifestyle. And I don't mean that in a bad way. If you're into the Kardashians, go for it. But, you know, than just looking good, having the latest lipstick and all that kind of thing. Mm. Those things satisfy a part of you.
Mm.
But there is always an education-shaped hole in every one of us. There really is. And you can't fill it with anything else.
Mm.
It, otherwise, it just goes unfulfilled.
Amazing.
And you don't want people walking around unfulfilled.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. That's probably the best answer. I couldn't have expected that. That was such a good answer. I love that. So you sound so passionate about the education system and young people and people of all generations being educated. What do you think is currently missing from the education system at the moment?
Someone asked me this the other day, actually, and the answer came straight away. And I'll say it again. I think that we still have a poverty of expectation.
Yeah.
We expect certain things from young people.
Yeah.
Certain groups of young people have one kind of expectation, other groups have a different expectation.
Mm.
And I think as a society, we need to raise our expectation of who young people are, what they can contribute, what they can do, and what they're for.
Mm. You know? Yeah.
We don't think of them until they're 18 and they become adults, then they become useful, then they become useful members of society. They're that from the minute they're born.
Mm. Great.
So I think education, we need to raise our expectation of them. Then we will raise our expectation of our curriculum. Then we raise our expectation of our pastoral systems. Then we raise expectation of our extracurricular activities that we do in schools, because we're expecting our young people to thrive.
Mm.
If you don't expect people to thrive, you don't build schools where people thrive.
Yeah.
You don't expect them to flourish, you don't build environments where they would flourish. You build nominal, mediocre environments. You build just a school. I don't want a school. I want a thriving educational environment that's vibrant, that makes young people say, I want to be here, I love being here, I want my children to come here. The amount of parents who said to me, oh, I hated school.
Yeah,
that's why my child hates school. And I think, what's that?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But I can see where that comes from.
Yeah.
You didn't like it, what would your child
yeah,
like?
Yeah, of course,
it?
Yeah.
And it's about breaking that.
Yeah, definitely. Amazing. I love that. That's again another flawless answer.
I'm doing well.
Yeah, you're doing well. You are 3 for 3, so we're good. I'd love to hear, obviously we know everything that's happening with Brexit, and I'd love to hear how you think Brexit is going to affect the education system.
Wow. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know the logistics of what will happen on November the 1st if we come out with no deal. For goodness sake, let that not be the case.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether schools will feel an effect logistically, but I do know that our young people who are in our schools, who are from different parts of the European Union, our Polish children, our Romanian children, I do know that already they're feeling insecure.
Yes, yeah.
Already they're feeling like we don't want them, we don't like them,
yeah.
they're not part of the society here, they're not wanted, their families are not wanted, they've got nothing to contribute. Already, I'm hearing that narrative,
yeah.
And that's sad, because that is not the truth.
Yeah.
But that's how young people always think things are my fault.
Yes.
That's
how
young people internalise the world. It's my fault, I did something wrong. And I hope if anyone in person hears this, that is not the case.
Yeah.
I hope they hear the message that is not the case. Brexit wasn't about you.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
It wasn't about not wanting you, not loving you, not wanting you to be with us. It's about some politicians who just had a spat and it went wrong.
Yeah.
Let's just leave it at that, shall we?
Yeah, no? It's exactly right, yeah.
It's just a disaster.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah. That's the thing. I think we're both coming from the same place in that. I think it's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Last couple of questions from me. So after Brexit, it's 4 years after. Where will Diana be in 5 years' time?
5 years' time? Oh. There's a glib answer, on a beach somewhere, chilling. I mean, in 5 years' time, I'll be 55 years old.
Yeah.
So I hope I'm still starting a new adventure.
Yeah, amazing.
I hope I'm still supporting leaders. I hope I'm still supporting heads in challenging schools and helping them to make a success of their leadership journey. I've just written a book. By 5 years' time, I should have written, there's a plan, a book a year.
Awesome.
Let's see, it's what, you know, six books done by then. I was actually just talking with my husband this morning. We don't have to live here.
Yeah.
It just suddenly occurred to us, hold on a second, we could live anywhere.
Yeah, amazing.
Hey! You know? And I hope I'm living somewhere where I can relax, truly relax, but still engage with this agenda of supporting leaders.
Yeah,
so
amazing.
I've got an exact plan, but I imagine I won't be living in Bedfordshire.
Okay, amazing. I love that. That is awesome. That's awesome. So, Diana, as we're finishing, where can people find you online if they want to find out more about
you? Online, go to www.courageousleadership.co.uk, my website. Hook up with me on LinkedIn, Diana Osagie, and LinkedIn, Diana Osagie on Twitter as well.
Awesome. Diana, thank you so much for coming down. It was an honour to have you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.